Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank and praise Allah Ta'ala for the numerous bounties and blessings He has bestowed upon us, and we make dua to Allah. We say, O Allah, keep these blessings with us. Give us the ability to be able to render thanks and gratitude to You for all these blessings which we are enjoying, which we can see, and those we can't see, those we perceive, those we can't perceive, those we regard as big and those we regard as small. Sometimes we regard it also as small. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep them with us. And we say, O Allah, increase us in all these beautiful blessings that You have bestowed upon us. Respected friends and brothers, alhamdulillah, as we speak now, we know that we are in the days of Hajj and the season of Hajj. And at this point in time, the center of Hajj, the location where the Muslimin, the Ummah is gathering, is Makkah Mukarramah, and there's a great buzz that is occurring there. And even here around us, we find people are now getting ready. Many have departed. Many are in the process of departing. And it is an excitement which makes anyone who knows about the journey very, very envious, making him wish, I wish I can also be there. I wish I could also be there. And those who have not been there, it also puts in their heart the same kind of envy and the same kind of desire. And those who were there, they say, last year was my turn, I was going. This year, these people are going. Gives a person almost, you know, a feeling of wanting to cry. But my respected brothers, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's side that He has put this kind of unusual, unheard of desire in the heart of every believer who does not know where Makkah is or who never has been there, that I want to be there from small. So this is something very special from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, many of us have been there, alhamdulillah. Many of us will be going there. The idea of today's talk is for us to understand that this is one of the great ni'mat and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Allah takes us again, inshallah. But even if we don't go for whatever reason, we need to appreciate all the blessings of Allah. And Hajj is one of those unique ibadat of Islam which we must not take for granted. The whole Deenul Islam is very unique. Everything about Islam is unique. Every different individual ibadat in Islam is also very, very unique. And it is sometimes taken for granted by us. But those who are watching it and seeing it from the outside, those who observe it or who study it, those who don't have it, when they see it and when they come to know about it, we're talking about the non-Muslims, then they in their hearts also undoubtedly have the same kind of envy as well as a desire and very often an admiration for the Ummah, for the Muslimin, for the various ibadat that we carry out, which we probably just take for granted. So we must not take anything for granted, my respected friends and brothers. Any aspect of the deen, if we have to put in front of it this believer, in front of a non-Muslim, and when they come to know about it, they just marvel at it. That's why any aspect of ibadat, if it is properly executed or explained, the person who is hearing will definitely want to accept the deen. It's a form of da'wah, my respected friends and brothers. So whether we speak about our hajj, or whether we speak about our fasting, whenever they hear about our fasting and the manner in which we fast, we find that they are so amazed and they are so astonished. What a way, what discipline. And among their own scholars also, many times you find they have got different forms of fasting. We just speak for health reasons. And many of them, they, mashallah, they support and they promote the Muslim fasting. They say this is the best form of fasting for the following scientific and medical reasons. If we tell them about our funerals, they are so amazed that this is just how you have your funeral. The person passes away in the afternoon, by the evening he's gone. He passes away at night, by the morning he's buried. And there is so minimum expenses incurred and so forth. So it really amazes them because they know what amount of headache and stress they undergo in addition to the grief that they are suffering. So we can take even our istinja, if we explain to them, and I have had personal experiences where we told the people, this is how we have to actually cleanse ourselves. They are amazed. Our hygiene, everything, my respected friends and brothers. So in the same vein, and when we talk about Hajj, then we ourselves as Muslimin need to know that we must appreciate very, very greatly from the bottom of our hearts the beautiful deen and every aspect of deen. Nowhere should ever a Muslim think that something else outside there is better than the deen or any other practice beyond Islam is better. No. Islam and the deen of Islam and the various rites and rituals and ibadat and whatever other obligations we are carrying out are the best, and they are given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no one else has been given that except us. So my respected brothers, when we look at this event, this ibadat of Hajj, it is so unique. We start by saying that it is the annual conference that has been convened by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for specific participants at a specific time and at a specific place, with the program of that conference also being ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, which religion can actually speak about any of their ibadat in this way, which I have just described? Ordained by Allah ta'ala. So even the place, nobody can go where he wants to. The time, nobody can go when he wants to. And the people that go, also, it's only in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something we must actually realize. That, you know, now we have got sahuk and we have got accreditation and all the rest of that. These are things that have been put into place as a system to facilitate and make easy for the whole ummah to go there. But if somebody did not get accredited or somebody didn't make it or whatever, don't start swearing sahuk. Don't start sending around all these little posts on the phone, on the social media. My respected friends and brothers, Allah convened the conference for a specific number of participants. And if your name was not there, the call was not there, then nothing can happen. And if the call was there, then even sahuk system is not going to stop you from going there. So let us understand that, my respected friends and brothers. Nevertheless, that's besides the point. What we are trying to say is that the greatness of this particular event has to be understood in this particular definition, which makes it so unique, which is not ever found in any other religion except the deen of Islam. And my respected brothers, this Hajj actually, it is the envy of all other religions. It is the envy of all other nations. People of other religions also, you know, they have got their own forms of what they call pilgrimage. But nothing can compare to this great gift that Allah Ta'ala has given us, which we go and which we have been, and inshallah which we will go and witness. My respected friends and brothers, in as far as its uniqueness is concerned, just the very first thing we speak about, the sheer magnitude of the crowds that are present there. Just that on its own, you won't find such a gathering anywhere at a short period of time in a specific place except in Hajj. That's the first thing. And then besides that, the crowd is made up of people from different countries, different backgrounds, different cultures, all of them coming there, and with a great amount of harmonious interaction, we find they go through the whole practices and activities of Hajj. You know, if people are from different places, there can be so much of confusion in as far as what and how, and people think differently, which we find there. But we find everything taking place. Just look at one salah at the time of Hajj. So many millions of people are in the haram, and the imam says Allahu Akbar. And by the time, when the iqama starts actually, by the time the muazzin has called out the iqama, and he comes by the end of it, most of the safs are already formed and straight. And when the imam says Allahu Akbar, more than 90% of the people following the imam, the rest who are still coming in and who haven't found their place, they find their place. And what orderliness and what format, alhamdulillah, and what unity of so many people from different parts of the world. So these are things that make Islam and the beautiful act of Hajj so unique. And envy, and envy of the nations of the world. And then also, my brothers, the way the Hajj is coordinated with so much of, we can say precision to up to a certain place, but with so much of formality and with so much of arrangement and organization. So, okay, on the one hand, we can say that we give credit to the authorities of the government. And this, at this point in time, is the Saudi government. And before that, there were other governments that at all times made sure that the Hujjaj were taken care of in the best way. If we look at the lineage of the Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for example, we'll find in his forefathers there are those people who used to, during the course of the year, collect money for the hujjaj that were coming there and for their meals and whatever else it might be. So we find that this organization and coordination has been taking place even before Hajj became a farz of Islam. And besides that, my brothers, the way the coordination takes place, how everything is organized, they themselves have told us on one occasion when we were speaking about when the Mu'assasa just started and so forth. They said that a research was carried out by some Western analysts, and they say that it is not humanly possible for so many people to be at a certain place and to move to the next place and to the next place, carry out the rituals in such a short period of time and be there and there. It is not something that is humanly possible. Meaning what? This is the what we call miracle of the Hajj itself, and this is the manifestation of the special qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they've got their ways of, you know, calculating crowds and time and how much of time is needed for a certain ritual and moving from there and there and whatever it might be. And in such a short period of time, basically Hajj is 5 days. But the amount of coordination and that is needed, one is the human element. But they say as far as human beings are concerned, no other world, country or government will ever get it right. This is because this is Makkah. This is because this is a conference convened by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not fail. And obviously from time to time somebody may say, what happened? We have stampedes and we have this difficulty. Those are things which are done by human error, by people themselves not obeying the rules and doing things they are not supposed to do. Mostly it's that. But as far as the general formalities of the Hajj are concerned, subhanallah. So that makes the people of the world, they sit and they look at it. And those who come to know about it, they are just truly amazed. And then we mentioned also the unity that is found in Hajj, in as far as people coming from different parts of the world, my brothers. Different cultures, different languages, different background, different madhahib, different teachers, different ways of having learned various things about Hajj. And we find different kinds of people, colors, language, ethnicity, age, old, young, big, small, healthy, infirm. Everybody gathered there and everybody carrying out this beautiful ibadat which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for them. So this, my respected friends and brothers, actually signifies the uniqueness of this ibadat, which we must not take for granted. So alhamdulillah, when we were there many times, you know, we needed to do one thing and go from one place to another. But we don't even know that we were part of a miracle. And when this thing is now, alhamdulillah, shown all over the world, on different channels or wherever it might be, it creates such a respect and awe in the hearts of the disbelievers. Subhanallah, they also say, no, this is something else. And we need to explain to them from time to time what the Hajj itself is about. Then the unity which we are speaking about in terms of the participants, but the unity in as far as the actions are concerned. Everyone at one single time doing certain things. So when we are proceeding, for example, for Mina, and then to Muzdalifah, and then to Arafat, and then to Muzdalifah, and then back to Mina, and then the rituals of the stoning and the qurbani and the tawaf and all these things that are taking place, all doing the one and the same thing. This is such a unity. Now you must remember, if everybody in one country and a few people from another country get down to do it, it's not a big story. But like you mentioned, these are people from practically every country, every part of the world that are doing. That is what lends uniqueness to this particular ibadat. And then they are all there in one uniform. We all know everybody is in ihram. That creates such a sense of unity. Everyone on one slogan, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. Everyone making the same dua. Everyone there with the one common purpose of wanting to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of wanting to be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all these are things of unity and things that are carried out at one and the same time. That, my respected friends and brothers, one of the highest forms of unity, and it can only be done, and it's only seen when this ibadat of Hajj is taking place once every year. Also, you must remember, my respected friends and brothers, there are three major religions that lay claim to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And none of the other two religions, Christianity and Judaism, have got the pride and the honor of carrying out the ritual of Hajj as announced by Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam made adhan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Wa'adhin fin nas," give adhan to the people, and they are going to come. And they're going to come, you know, on every kind of lean camel through every narrow gorge. So the hadith says that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "If I'm going to make the announcement and tell people to come for Hajj, who's going to hear me?" Now, he was there. Where? In Mecca. Right, we after having built the Kaaba. He gave the adhan there, my brothers. And he called out. We were not even there. Not in Mecca, not in Medina, not even in South Africa. We were in Alam Arwah at that time. But when the call was made by Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, then all those people that responded, and we see that those are going for Hajj whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls them. All of these people are identifying with the deen of Islam, with the Muslims. So 1/3 of all those that are laying claim to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam as being their leader, only we are honored by Allah Ta'ala to have responded to the adhan of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So we said the other day that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, imagine he made that adhan and he asked Allah, where the people are going to come from? Imagine if he goes now to Makkah and he sees Makkah in now days of Hajj and he sees that crowd that is there, and it is told to him every year the same crowd is coming. Estimate, conservative figure, normally is about 3 million, sometimes under less or more, we don't know. There's official figures, whatever it might be. But each year, oh Ibrahim, alayhi salam, people have been coming, responding to your call, which you made hundreds of years ago, long before Sayyidina Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So that again shows how Allah Ta'ala has honored us with this unique ibadat to having responded to Ibrahim alayhi salam's call. And then the unique way of everyone being brought to one level of humility. When the people are there present at that time, everyone is just focused on one thing, and everyone comes to realize that he is just nothing. Each one is busy and all are turning to the one Allah in one uniform, my respected friends and brothers. All vestiges of, you know, individualism, I, me, I'm somebody, all that is lost. Egotism, pride, arrogance is all lost. When a person finds himself in that ocean of humanity, then he comes to realize he is nothing but a sand grain on the seashore. You pick up one sand grain on the seashore, you look at it. No, that's how insignificant we are. That is what we come to realize. And that is found, my respected friends and brothers, in this very unique, Hajj is a very unique human experience. In this way, that nowhere else will human beings all gather in such large numbers with such a common purpose, with such commonality in terms of rituals and ibadat and dua, and showing love and consideration and kindness to each other. Alhamdulillah, we find that one of the important teachings of Hajj is that a person doesn't allow himself to get into arguments. فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَال. That jidal means getting into arguments. So people are encouraged that make sure that you are more considerate and kind towards fellow human beings who come from islands and from parts of the world which is not even ever known and ever heard of. But we find they're all getting together there. And among the other one, last one, my respected friends and brothers, all those people who subscribe to any religion that is a divine religion, alhamdulillah, they recognize the existence of great divine personalities like the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam. Even Christians and Jews and other people also, maybe their religions have now basically faded away. But if they trace, they will find some Nabi in their life. Allah Ta'ala has made it that every Nabi visited Makkah Mukarramah. Only the Muslims have been so honored to go visit that place where every Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala visited. And Ibrahim alayhi salam built the Kaaba, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam was there, and then Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there. Once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going through Hajj, and he was passing through the valley of Azraq, and at that time, he said to the people that it is as though I can see Musa alayhi salam passing here now with his hands on his ears and calling out the labbaik. So we as Muslimin are connected and associated to all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam by this unique ibadat of going there and performing Hajj. Same way when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about Yunus alayhi salatu wa salam, when he was passing through the valley of Harasha, it is said that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is as though I see Yunus alayhi salam on his red camel, the reins of which are made of date palms, and he is dressed in a woolen cloak, and he is calling out the labbaik. So all the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam came there. So it is such a beautiful way through which we are actually associated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no ibadat is such that enables someone to do such an ibadat in as far as spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned. We all moan and we squeal that, eesh, that has gone expensive. Yes, it is. Agents are busy skinning us left, right and center. But when the people have to go for Hajj, they take out that money, mashallah, and they say, you know what, this is for Allah. So Hajj actually trains us to be able to spend in the path of Allah. I'm not justifying, the agents must say, you know what, you heard what Maulana said, you must spend in the path of Allah. So I'm just doubling my Hajj fees now. No, we're not meaning it. We mean the openness and with which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it, that people are happy to spend in this unique ibadat. May Allah ta'ala give us the value of all the ibadat and the deen of Islam. Wa ma'alna billah.